Alien structures deep under Antarctica ice? Who knows the answers? Well, today we find out with the one and only Linda Moulton Howe. She will talk about her upcoming workshop at the Conscious Life Expo, talking about Antarctica military whistleblowers. She will go into details about the Spartan 1 and 2 and the military whistleblowers, where she has received confirming information about huge, mysterious architectural 2 to 3 miles deep under the ice of the Antarctica. As you know, when Linda speaks, we pay attention. It's Linda Moulton Howe. Hi, Linda.
Thank you very, very much.
Of course.
It's great to be with you guys.
It's been a while since you've been on the show, but we've seen you at many conferences, and we're so happy. And we're going to talk about the Antarctica and also Conscious Life, but there's been a huge, huge news lately and a big breaking news today.
So there is.
Captain Ron, go ahead and start it off.
The breaking news is that the World Health Organization declared this virus a public health emergency just today. And Linda, you called for that the other day on your show. It's the Wuhan coronavirus, and why don't you tell us the details on it? You're up to speed on it.
Yeah, it was only 1 week ago that there were 509 cases that were confirmed in China largely, and there were at that time 170 death toll. In 1 week, today, when the World Health Organization declared this as a global medical emergency, the number that they reported were 7,874 confirmed cases of the Wuhan coronavirus when they made this release today. That's 509 up to 7,874 in 1 week. Now, let's put this in perspective. Back in 2002, I remember what it was like when the SARS was breaking. And I was trying to stay on top of that day by day by day. And yet, as deadly as SARS was, by the end of an entire year of 12 months, the total cases that were confirmed were somewhere around 8,000 to 10,000. We're already near 8,000 1 week from when it was 509.
They're saying 8,300 already.
Okay, see, it's gone over 8,000 since this morning when they released this. It is, and a doctor that I have interviewed said, this is, they think now, more contagious than SARS. SARS may have been more deadly, they're not sure, but the contagion, the fact that it is spreading so fast, and there was really one ominous note in this past week. And that was confirmed by the CDC that a father who was lived in Wuhan, had no symptoms, did not feel sick, got on an airplane and flew to Hanoi in Vietnam to visit his 27-year-old son. The son came down with full-born symptoms of the coronavirus, which means that was human to human transmission without the first person showing symptoms and transferring to the younger son who became ill enough to be hospitalized. That is an ominous note because this week on Monday, they started taking our embassy staff that were in Wuhan out and putting them on probably at least one large plane, because I think there were about 300. And the idea was that they would come back to California in the San Francisco area, probably to a military base. And maybe people did or didn't know this, that it was decided that they and people going back to France, people going back to the UK, the same thing, they would have to be held for 14 days before they could be released into the United States population again, into France, into England, because 14 days appears right now to be the furthest average in which symptoms would appear. And you can imagine how terrible it would be if we already know that transmission of this coronavirus is occurring between a father and a son, and the father never had symptoms. What about these people coming back from Wuhan to the United States and to England and France and to all the places they're trying to get out of and not having symptoms, but then getting out into the stores, into the sidewalks, the airplanes, the bus stations, and transmitting. This is why right now, as we speak, on the afternoon of January 30th, 2020, this is danger. That means that the doctors, the World Health Organization, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they don't have any more idea than you and I about who could be coming down or carrying the virus or not if they are not showing symptoms. And that Vietnam case hangs over all of this. What will this coronavirus do in the next month if it is now over 8,000 cases? SARS got there in a year. This has gotten to this point in a month.
Hey, Linda, since this started in China, don't you think that the 8,300 figure may even be low? Not everybody's getting tested, and maybe they don't want to release how bad it really
is. Isn't that what they said? Is they said because a lot of people are now getting tested.
These are the confirmed cases.
That's right. And there was a doctor with the Imperial College in Oxford in England, and he made this statement a week ago, anticipating exactly what is happening, and said that based on all of the data and the fact that China is giving out numbers, but they have admitted they do not have all the kits that are necessary to do a coronavirus test, that means we're only getting a percentage, and we don't know what the percentage is of the confirmed potential cases. And this doctor in England said this past week, his estimate of the actual numbers of combining the unknown that could be now transmitting and the known could be 100,000 to 200,000 people.
Jesus.
So I saw this article maybe yesterday, day before. They were talking about, you know, when the Ebola came out, it's like, oh, it's the end of us. And then they kept listing the bird flu. It's the end of us. And now, I mean, there's tons of other viruses that have came out. Why should we be so concerned when, you know, I know there's a lot of cases, but why should we be so concerned? This is not just me. This is other people asking. So when all these other viruses came out, and it was supposed to be the end of the world.
H1N1.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'll tell you right now, China is answering your question. Never in the history of human medicine have 12 cities with 50 million people in them been locked down, quarantined by a government. And that's what China did.
That's also now updated to over 60.
Okay. China took that really aggressive move. And yet after they did that, look at all the cases. And that's why I led with the death toll on January 29th, 2020 had gone up to 170. And it went from 17 to 170. 17.
Right.
One
10
week
times.
Ago.
Yeah.
And this is the week of all of the lockdowns of trying to get people in America, the Americans and French and everybody out, knowing that these numbers they're saying this is dangerous because it is going. This isn't gradual. This is where you are getting these kinds of exponential leaps over time. And right now, when you read some of the quotes at earthfiles.com, I had another quote just this week from a doctor, and he is in Europe, and he was a doctor. He dealt with the Asian flu, with SARS, with H1N1. He's been dealing with them all. And his quote on Monday was, I have done a lot having to do with and named all of these epidemics. And he said, right now with this Wuhan coronavirus, this is his quote, I feel helpless. For a man with this kind of experience, with these kinds of pandemic, that's another thing. What is the difference for the New York Times, for you, for me, for all of us? epidemic versus pandemic. The pan means the whole world.
Right, right.
When does it go from an epidemic in China that is now in 18 countries? I don't know if you got the updated date.
Yeah, we got a map here, Tony. He's got a map that shows that some kind of, including the United States, has 6 cases already.
Yeah,
here confirmed.
I don't know if you can see this, Linda, but it
was the Arab Emirates that was added to the list, making it 18 countries today. Mm. That's not on the published list from last night. So 18 countries, over 8,000 confirmed cases, estimate by medical doctors that the true infections, meaning people who may not know that they're sick yet, but they are carrying the virus, 100,000 to 200,000. And that you guys, that just from 2 or 3 hours ago, it was, we were dealing last night with 7,700. Wow. When the World Health Organization changed to a global public health emergency this morning, they said 7,874. And you're saying that right now, this afternoon, it's gone to 8,800.
It's crazy.
Amazing.
And, you know, I know there's, I don't know if this is necessarily a conspiracy theory or even just, you know, thought, but in 1720 was the plague, 1820 was a chlorella outbreak, 1920 the bubonic plague, and then in 2020 the coronavirus. It is kind of weird that in the last, 400 years, in the 20s, that some kind of big virus came in and took a lot of people.
You're making an excellent point. I hadn't thought about that, that in decades, that there have been cycles in decades that we have enough time on this. And then look back to the 1350s to 14, that is when the Black Plague.
Right.
It took out 1/3 of Europe's population.
Wow.
And you know what is really interesting about that Black Plague? It was summarized with tremendous footnoting and hard data in the book, The Gods of Eden, by Bramley, the attorney. And when The Gods of Eden came out, and I read the chapter that he is an attorney, he told me, because I called him up, I was absolutely stunned by all of the hard data in his book, which is about 20 years ago, I think, the Gods of Eden came out. And I said, if you're an attorney and this book is filled with historic anecdotes and other what we would call evidentiary statistics about UFOs and ETs interacting with this planet, what provoked you to do this book? And why are you focusing on the Black Plague of Europe in the 1300s? And he said, because I was started out to do a book about why is it that humans, going back for 2,000 years, have had so many intense wars over things having to do with spiritual issues? Mm. That's what he was going to do the book about. Kind of a schizophrenic contradiction of the human nature. Why do we war about whose God is superior to another? When he started doing investigations, looking for specific documents along that theme, he spent time, and I think it was in England that he actually took the time and paid the money to go over. And it was in the Oxford University Superior Archives that he began finding all of these old original books and documents about the Black Plague. And he documents in The Gods of Eden, page by page, footnote by footnote. It's really well done, like a lawyer would do. That in villages, maybe 100 villages in the UK, that people would be reporting at night, they saw a figure silhouetted, all black. It had a hood that came over, like, so you couldn't see the face. The cape went all the way to the ground. There was a rod in one hand that was doing this. And as they would see the rod in the hand of this cloaked figure, there appeared to be mist or fog coming out of whatever this rod was. And that is what became the basis for the famous
Grim Reaper
figure of the Scythe of Death.
Wow.
It was from that plague of people, eyewitnesses, seeing a dark cloaked figure doing this. And the implication that he leaves in this chapter in The Gods of Eden is that something not human wanted to call the human population for reasons unknown, and that that plague was a deliberate outside manipulation by whoever these figures were in the cloak, in the hood, that were spraying. And it's not proven, because they didn't even have diagnostic labs that were trying to keep chain of custody on origin up to case studies like we do today. It would have been all of the local testimonies of eyewitnesses. And remember, when they started dying and one third of the European population died, and they were having the problem of bodies that were stacking up and having to dig huge holes and burn. Those local testimonies, they would have added up from all those villages. Who, and they would have said, who was the black cloaked figure that had something that it was spraying, that once that appeared in a village, everybody got sick? That is truly one of the biggest mysteries that has a lot of data behind it in our world. Why were there these black figures associated with that black plague? And what was the goal if a third of the European population died in a short period of time? It's really, truly a puzzle. But it raises the question now. If you're noticing that there have been big we'll call it epidemic type diseases, maybe every 10 years. Is it manipulated from the outside? Or is it something that is part of a cycle of this constant battle between the microscopic world of viruses and bacteria and the matter world, the large macro world of humans and animals? And that is something that I think all of us, no one has answers for that in any definitive way. But what we have to do is educate, not be terrified, but be educate as much as possible about how does this spread once they begin to know that, to know that there is right now, there are three different labs are working on a vaccine as fast as they can. And that when your mom said, wash your hands,
right,
he wasn't kidding. And when it comes to the coronavirus, it was the same thing with SARS. They put out big signs, wash your hands. They actually said wash for 20 minutes.
Wow.
I understand that very few people will do that outside of surgeons in hospitals. But the point is, we don't know where the virus is on surfaces if people now are coming back in airplanes and they're going to be out in the
right,
world with us. So one of the things that will help you in a lot of ways is truly think, contemplate. I must keep my hands washed every time I go out, every time I drive the car, every time I come back. You've got to wash your hands.
Hey, Linda, Russia just closed its border with China.
Just now.
40 minutes ago.
That's pretty...
It's underscoring everything I'm saying. Yep. Russia knows. Russia, any border with China... Of
That's
cities
a big border.
of 50 to 60 million people locked down. What do you think those 60 million people want to do? They want to get out of China.
Yeah.
And Russia sees it. There's probably going to be a lot more borders. I'm telling you, this is in another example, though. Xi, the leader of China, who has been considered by his people to be the perfect leader. And what did she do for the entire month of December? The first coronavirus, I think it was a fatality, was about December 1, or at least in that first week. She punished doctors, punished local government authorities, punished anyone who was saying that there was spread of a new coronavirus. For a month, she was punishing. When are we going to get past on this planet the power broker leaders who don't want truth? They don't want facts to reach the public, whether it's UFOs and ETs or something as dangerous as a coronavirus. And right, I've read a brilliant, it was Nicholas Kristof. It was in the New York Times today. And that was his whole column was, Chi, as many backs as there might be to blame the inefficiency and the problems in the hospitals, Chi stands as the major figure because of the denial for almost an entire month of December. Think about this. The nurses and the doctors in the hospitals who knew they were facing a crisis, they couldn't go out and order the masks. They couldn't order the increased supply that they knew they were going to need, which Kristof puts into the column in the New York Times today. So for an entire month, when China could have been a hero, Xi could have been a hero, we're going to get as much supplies, we're going to try to get on top of this as fast as possible. The rest of the world, we're going to not let anybody travel into our country until we are on top of it. But on the other side of that logic, that would have been strong rationale, and Xi would have been a hero.
All the more, I think that figure's low.
Here's what's working against it.
I think so.
Apple, all of our companies that depend on the Chinese to make products for, like, the Apple phone. Right now, one of the big stories is Apple has been shutting down its Starbucks has shut down over half of their companies in China. What happens on the other side of companies pulling out? Where are they going to go to get the production?
Well, if you guys are just tuning in, of course, you know this is Linda Moulton Howe that's our guest today. I'm Tony Sweet with Captain Ron for Truth Be Told. Linda's going to be at Conscious Life Expo next week, as we'll be there also. We're talking about the coronavirus that's coming out of China. And we're going to be talking about the Antarctica here in a second. I know there's some people that want to talk about that. But, here in Southern California, we had our first case in Orange County, not too far from here.
And L.A. County.
In L.A. County. Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not too concerned yet until it's, as fast as it's spreading, who knows? Well, I have my mask already. I have a whole box of them. Just in case. I'm not going to freak out too much. But I think a lot of people are, they're scared. A lot of people are wondering what to do. And this, like the HIV virus and certain viruses, a lot of, sexually transmitted. This is airborne. So we know that, a lot of these people are flying over on the air, these airlines that are spreading. And I know they contacted a lot of these people that was on the same planes that some of these people that contracted it with. So do you think, I know you said they're moving quickly on this, but do you think that this possibly could get under control sooner than later? Or do you think this could be pretty scary in the next month or two?
I think that my gut feels that it's very dangerous. And dangerous means a sense that the numbers are climbing so fast every 24 hours that nobody's got a handle on this yet at all, and especially not China. And that headline that you just said came out, that Russia has closed the border with China.
I've never heard that before.
I
just saw it on Google.
I mean,
we were talking.
And you guys know that the medical people and the scientists in China are communicating with doctors in other countries. There's no question about it. So even though Xi finally got onto the ground that he should have been a month ago, right, and that was, let's close down, and he finally made these public statements and said, we're going to get on top of it. That other doctor in England who said the number of potential cases could be 100,000 to 200,000, because a lot of people now are going to be looked at just like the father from Wuhan, who went to Vietnam. He had no symptoms, but that has to be the source. And his son got really sick. How much of that is now going to be something that we start seeing, what's called the transmission from people who do not have symptoms? That's why this is dangerous. And I would say that the very fact that Russia has now closed down that border with China implies that the Russian government knows something that may not have been published yet.
Well, I mean, this is something to watch. I think this is something we're going to continue to talk about. And, you know, go to earthfiles.com. I'm sure Linda's going to be researching that. But I know a lot of people are interested in Antarctica, so we're going to kind of transition over. So next week, we're all going to be at the Conscious Life Expo. We're not speaking. We're just attending, but Linda's going to be, you know, the pretty much one of the main headlines because she's Linda Moulton Howe. And but so Antarctica. So we've been hearing about this for several years now. We've talked to many people about the, you know, bases, and, you know, even
and Linda made a documentary on this.
Made a documentary about it. So tell us any updates. You have some whistleblowers, and tell us any updates because this is something that people are really interested in because this is one of these, you know, continents that you don't get to hear a lot about. You don't. It's not like you get to fly there and enjoy the beach and, you know, a nice hotel. So it's really hard to get there and to enjoy. So tell us about some of the people that you've talked to.
Well, I would like everybody to know that I have a 65-minute documentary. It's called Antarctica, Alien Secrets Beneath the Ice. And if you go to my news website, www.earthfiles.com, right at the top of the headlines page, there is a picture of Antarctica and the title, and it takes you to a link where now the whole 65-minute documentary can be video on demand through Vimeo or Amazon Prime. And I would urge all of you, you can rent it for only $4.99 or purchase it. This is my best accumulation of the best information on the fact that there is an ancient, at least maybe in terms of Earth timeline, but to whoever constructed it, the military whistleblowers would say, even if it was built 34 million years ago, the last time that Antarctica was free of ice and there was land and it was tropical and there were all kinds of palms and tropical animals and plants, something happened. And it's truly a mystery to this day. Geophysicists don't understand what happened. Antarctica, it's as wide as the United States. It's a huge continent. And where did it come from? About 180, 70 million years ago, it was part of what we would call South Africa today. It was a big, big landmass called Pangaea, and there was only one ocean. That one ocean went around Pangaea. And for reasons that are not clear either, forces inside of our Earth started expanding Pangaea, and the part that we look at as South Africa today is where this huge United States-wide continent called Antarctica, for at least 100 million years, hot, tropical, went south and ended up at the South Pole. 34 million years ago to 33 million for about a million years, this mystery. While the rest of the world was not icing up, that big continent began building ice to the point that by 33 million years ago, it was 1 to 2 miles thick of ice. Hmm. So the Navy SEAL that I call Spartan 1 in my film, he has walked in this, we'll call it alien archaeology, alien structures, as a Navy SEAL on an extraction mission to bring out a language expert, because what, to summarize, what they know is there 2 miles, and in one case, 3 miles under the Antarctic ice. Are structures that are measured in acres by our government using deep ground, deep ice penetrating radar. And the Spartan 1 Navy SEAL, his extraction mission was in August of 2003, 17 years ago. And when he was given the latitude and the longitude where he was to go in a mission, he had never been shown photographs or briefed on exactly what he would find. They wanted him to go there. And what he did encounter were octagonal, eight-sided, black basalt, huge structures like telescopes. You'd come through one big eight-sided, huge black stone, and it would take you down to a ramp. No stairs, as we know stairs, for 2 to 3 miles. Octagon, ramp. Octagon, ramp. Going down, down, down. He walked down the whole thing. And he said, and then to his shock, he had been briefed about where he would find and how he would communicate and where he would get to the scientists. And he had to go through all these architectures because the scientist was down deep studying hieroglyphic symbol between Mayan and Egyptian hieroglyphs, is the way it was described. Thousands of them. Now, to say carved, the Navy SEAL said, no, we're not talking about carving. He said it was expressed to me, emphasized, that our government had known about these locations covering 62 acres, half a dozen of them, with rooms measured in 9-acre spaces, rooms, and that these black basalt walls, where there would be glowing green light, that you could walk down 3 acres with all of these symbols and hieroglyphs. They took laser measurements into all of these symbols and hieroglyphs, and they always got 7 centimeters. Everything was inside of this hard, hard, dense black basalt, 7 centimeters. He said that one of the discussions that he had with the scientists that he was there to extract, and who didn't want to go, because he said, the scientist told the Navy SEAL that is in my documentary, that until he understood everything about this incredible place and all of this language that was so mystifying, the scientist didn't want to leave. The SEAL, Spartan 1, said he didn't take him out. Somebody else may have come, but he thought the scientists stayed there. And that part of the reason is that they were trying to understand how would you do walls of dense black basalt covered with symbols and hieroglyphs all at the same depth. And interestingly enough, I said to him, you know what this reminds me of? Back in 2007 to 2008, I did a lot of investigation and reporting about what was called dragonfly technology, perhaps in the skies, flickering in and out of invisibility from something that was extraterrestrial, according to military whistleblowers to me back then. And what emerged was a man who signed everything as Isaac. And he said to me, and to Coast to Coast Webmaster, the two of us received original documents that he had. There were photographs and the whole, we'll call it the physics of these dragonfly drones. He gave us all this information about knowing what these strange things were that were suddenly appearing in a whole bunch of skies and being seen and photographed and videotaped and sketched by a lot of people. I have a lot of this at earthfiles.com, the dragonfly drones. And the physics that came in these leaked documents with the photographs was that all of the symbols that were being photographed on these strange dragonfly-shaped drones matched the same symbols that this scientist said that he had worked in an underground lab in Palo Alto, California, trying to back engineer, and they didn't make any bones about it, that they were back engineering extraterrestrial technology that had either been handed to us or retrieved from extraterrestrial biological entities, and that the drones, the work that they had in the lab, the pieces of extraterrestrial technology, all functioned in self-activating software. What he meant is that when you get to extraterrestrial technology, you don't have I have a tower computer, and it powers this computer, and I interact with a keyboard. No, in that world of the dragonfly drones and in Antarctica is the implication. All of the walls, the ceiling, the floor, every single thing would be made out of material that was encoded with zeros and ones, the binary language of computers. Every single thing would be artificial intelligence. You would be interacting mind to walls, to floors, to ceilings, to objects. And when I brought that up with Spartan One, the Navy SEAL, he said that the scientist that he was there to extract is the military word, talked about the fact that perhaps the reason that all of these complex, fascinating symbols and hieroglyphs measured 7 millimeters, every single one, was exactly that. That the black basalt was somehow interacted with self-activating software, so everything in the walls, the floors, and the ceilings were interactive artificial intelligence, and that it might be that all that the ETs ever had to do was to project a certain frequency that would interact with the atomic and molecular level of all of this black, hard, dense stone. And instead of writing, carving, typing, it would be instant atomic molecular transformation into all of these symbols and the hieroglyphs. And that, I have heard something like that before from a physicist who worked at Area 51 in the 1970s. And he worked also on back engineering extraterrestrial technology. And he told me that he had firsthand, his own hands, in one of those panels retrieved from one of the many crashes in New Mexico that had six fingers. He said it definitely had six fingers. He said, I had my hands in those impressed panels. And he said, I have five fingers. And there was an extra finger. Whatever it was, flew those panels and those craft had six fingers. And he said that he discovered, because he had been told, he had been briefed in the 70s, that we realized that there was a connection between the panels, the minds of the beings, and the whole craft flown in some way. And he said, while I was working on this at S4, Area 51, deep underground, that it was suggested to me that I should look for the link at the tips of the fingers and in the hands to what they had discovered between the outside skin of this particular UFO and the inside skin. There were two parallel skins, and in between were what we would call today fiber optics. But he said, Linda, the sophistication of what was between those skins in that UFO we don't have anything on Earth yet that is like what I dealt with at Area 51. And he said, I was able, because they told me to look, and I got a magnifier, and at the tips of each of the imprinted six-fingered hands in this panel in the craft, with the magnifier, you couldn't, he said you could not see it with the human eye, were some of these, we'll call them fiber optics for lack of a better word. These fiber optics were coming from the space between the two skins, coming into these panels. And when the hands of these beings were in those impressed six-fingered panels, they were hooking themselves through what he found in the microscope, these fibers that then went into all of the walls of the whole craft. And he said that then finally, we understood that there was a concept here of how you could join the mind, the nerves, through a panel that would be tied into these very advanced fiber optics that would then be operating so that it would be like the self-activating software. The entire craft, all of the walls, the fiber, the beings, the hands, the panels, the everything would all be one. I bring that up because that is the same kind of technology, I'm going to say concept, the thinking that is in Antarctica based on what the Navy SEAL told me. And he said to me, well, Linda, if your research that the last time Antarctica was free of ice was 34 million years ago, and he said it in a very humble voice, he said, what right do any of the leaders or any human on this planet have to keep from the current civilization of Homo sapiens sapiens, which is only 40,000 years old compared to 34 million? What right does what is in Antarctica, does anybody have to keep from you, me, and the human civilization? And that is the question that drives me every day of my life in my work.
Well, Linda, I want to ask you this, and I mean, that makes great sense, but what do you feel like your whistleblower, Spartan 1 and 2, you know, there's a lot of risk of speaking out. What did they give a reason why they wanted to reach out to you, and what did they know the risk that it would take to speak out and share this with information with you?
Have either of you ever served in the military?
I have not.
Nope.
When I have had so many colleagues and collaborations with people in the military, and I've come to have this sense, they bond, especially units like the Navy SEALs and the other, Spartan 2 is a Marine analyst, they bond. And in their bonding, they have protectors, people in the Pentagon, in the fifth floor C-ring, people at the CIA, NSA, DIA, geospatial. They have protectors, the guys that have done really, really hard and dangerous special ops. They have protectors. The protectors, I think that they assume, because they have somebody in a high-ranking position in the Pentagon, that they will be protected for life. And what I have learned, Spartan 1 has an uncle. It is the uncle who was a SEAL. It is the uncle who inspired Spartan 1 to go in a long time ago to become a SEAL. The uncle described for Spartan 1 that starting in the 70s, the uncle was leaving planet Earth with extraterrestrials on actual and real interstellar trade routes. This is what Spartan 1's uncle described his work. He said, I am now going to go out on 2 to 5 year missions. Spartan 1 told me, my uncle will protect me. Hmm. Here's the problem. And they're not the only ones who have had this problem. If you have protectors, especially if they're relatives, and administrations change, and depending upon whether the protectors have powerful allies in any current changing administration, or part of the reason why so much is black and deep, not in the public, the most of the intel world is underground, literally, and black dollars. And I think part of the reason why that happened is for exactly the bonding of people around the UFO, ET, interstellar trade routes. We've already been to Mars. We know a hell of a lot about what's on Mars, and we know what's been on the moon for a long time. We have a lot of information going on out through this solar system to other solar systems. There's not one question in my mind. We have had people going, and it could be that they're going with collaborating advanced intelligences. It's not a ship we built. It's we're going in somebody else's. And that interstellar trade division, which is supposed to be in Cyber Command now in the National Security Agency building on the 8th floor, they had the challenge, and Spartan 1 got this from his uncle, which gives some insight perhaps today on the whole issue of a space force mm-hmm. finally being pushed into the public. We had been doing so much work with extraterrestrials. We had been trying to back engineer so much technology. We had non-humans that were in the Pentagon, underground, Area 51, Edwards, all over the place, Wright-Patterson. And every administration from FDR to Truman and on, Eisenhower being, I think, the very last president who knew everything that was happening, they kept making decisions based on a discussion that Eisenhower had with Prime Minister Churchill around 1943 to 44 in World War II. They knew they were dealing with technologies in Europe that couldn't be German, couldn't be US, couldn't be anything. And these were the disks that would do really fast rings like this around a plane. There's an actual report about that. You could not get a human pilot who could take the G-forces like that, right? So there was a decision by Eisenhower and by Prime Minister Churchill that Churchill said, let's keep this a secret for 50 years. Well, that would have been around 1993. And in 1993, Bill Clinton was president, and that was an administration. Remember, that was the year that Lawrence Rockefeller was bringing Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, when he was president, and others to his ranch in Wyoming. I was part of one of the groups that Lawrence Rockefeller took to the ranch in Wyoming. Lawrence Rockefeller asked me to bring what was then the manuscript of my volume one, Glimpses of Other Realities, that is a two volume. And I had my binder with hundreds and hundreds of photographs and maps and illustrations and medical reports and everything. And I was one of about 15 of us that were doing presentations for Lawrence Rockefeller, every single one, about UFOs and ETs. And he told us quite straightforwardly there at his ranch that he wanted to put the Rockefeller name behind the truth that extraterrestrials that were not alone in the universe. He wanted to put together a booklet that he would send to every member of Congress. And he did that. He took our work and he put it into a booklet that went to every member of Congress. And Lawrence Rockefeller thought that in 93-94 time period, that there was so much leakage then, and that the Rockefellers knew a lot about UFOs and ETs, that that could push that headline finally into the world, we're not alone. And what happened was Bill Clinton became impeached, or there was an impeachment inquiry. It's a long story, but that was one of the possible and real potential where we would have broken through, because so many people in high power and positions know we're not alone, know that non-human intelligences have been a part and a fabric of this planet and this solar system for millions of years, long before Homo erectus stood up 2 million years ago in South Africa. So if you jump to Antarctica, a huge continent that got to the South Pole, and in 34 million years ago, it was still hot tropical land. Could the change to 2 to 3 miles of ice have been a strategy by one or more of the other intelligences that have been interacting with and experimenting with this laboratory Earth for at least 270 million years, as one Defense Intelligence Agency analyst told me? He said, Linda, we have proof. Our government has proof that 270 million years ago, this planet was being used as a laboratory, mixing and matching of genes, and that there were three competing civilizations. And when I said, what is the proof, sir? He said, Linda, if I told you, it would be too dangerous for you or for me. And Jesus. What he meant, I'm an investigative reporter. And even if he, as I never, I always have honored requests for anonymity. But all these people who come to me, they are trusting that I'm going to find a credible and safe way to transfer information in my work, even if I can't give the source, even if I don't have a document. And so when he said it would be too dangerous for me and for him, he meant even if no one ever knew about the meeting, if no one ever knew who it was, there would only be a very tiny group that would have been analyzing extraterrestrial biological entities at the level of this man, which was considerable. So they would not, the powers that be that want to hurt whistleblowers instead of tell us all the truth, they would know who this was. And then he'd be hurt. Hmm. Now, to come around full circle to part of your question, which relates to what I just said. After, I've never told and may never that what it took for me to be able to videotape for 2 days, it, when I look back, it was just me and a camera and setting up as best I could. And what these guys went through to get to where I was, what they went through in terms of putting guns all over the room. I had never been in my life a room where there were many guns, because they said, Linda, you are our first priority. We were raised. We'll protect you no matter what. And I had these visions that I would be running the camera and asking questions and finally getting the truth on video. And that a band of military guard people would come crashing through the door, through the window, and kill us all. I mean, it was amazingly stressful, which makes the documentary to me like gold. And I don't know how to transfer that to the rest of the world. What is in the 65 minutes documentary I have is true. And I have heard from another Navy SEAL. And if I could tell you where what he's doing and where he is right now, and this man is the real deal. He approached me, but very, very carefully. And people can communicate with me from whistleblower positions of real knowledge by FedEx is one of the best ways. Still, I hope we don't turn into a totalitarian fascist state where everything will be blown up or looked through. So we're still United States of America enough that people who really, really have solid knowledge can carefully get it to me. And part of what I'm going to be talking about at Conscious Life Expo is that these whistleblowers, they have become so frustrated because an increasing number of men, going back at least to Apollo, those Apollo astronauts knew we were dealing with extraterrestrials then. Buzz Aldrin and Armstrong, and there's a big long story, they knew. So by the 70s, when Spartan 1 talks about his uncle, who is going out into interstellar space, I'm not talking in this solar system. I'm talking about going out into the Milky Way galaxy on the establishment of interstellar routes. Okay, what is an interstellar route about? We want more gold. We want more neodymium. We knew that rare metals on this planet were going to become crucial as we got into the 21st century now. China, for 15 years, China has been pressuring the nation of Australia, trying to get a treaty or buy a huge section that is north, I believe it's northeast of Perth, Australia. And it has one of the world's last largest concentrations of what are called rare minerals and rare metals. Australia's prime minister, I was there when it broke in a headline about 15 years ago, speaking at a Nexus conference, and that's why I remember this so vividly, that the prime minister stood up against China and said, if we sell you all of our metals and valuable minerals near Perth, we will have nothing in the future. That pressure is still on from China. And so if you take a look at the geopolitical territorial conflicts of humans on this planet right now, between China and Russia and the United States and North Korea and what's happening in the Middle East, and you look at what the human need is for weapons and computers and all of the advanced, now just take it up another huge layer, a Milky Way that people or humanoids or intelligences are always looking for planets that will have X, Y, and Z resources. In many ways, talking with Spartan 1, Spartan 2, the Navy SEAL, powerful whistleblower, and others, I get the impression that phrase, as above, so below, translates out there. That in a strange way, we are conscious in a universe that appears to be teeming with other life, but they are operating with frequencies and technologies that we may not even be able to measure. It's a strange idea, but it's possible. And that when the Defense Intelligence Agency said that in his work for 23 years for the DIA, his job was to monitor and analyze the competing conflict between three extraterrestrial biological entity civilizations, he called them civilizations, that competed for resources from laboratory Earth. They use this remarkable planet, two-thirds deep oceans, for all kinds of genetic manipulation experiments and they did manipulation of DNA on long lines of evolution. And this, I'll never forget him saying this, for reasons that we do not understand. And what he means is, we are one of the creations. Homo sapiens sapien, technically, is a genetic android. An android would be a biological creation by something else, mixing matching genes to serve it in some way. It could be that where the rubber hits the road today, where we started, could the coronavirus be a population reduction action by advanced intelligences who have been doing this in a periodic cycle on this planet in order to keep their population laboratory down to a certain number. There are people like the attorney, William Bramley, the Gods of Eden. That was his conclusion. I step back and say, I have talked with thousands of people over the last 40 years. And the one thing I'm really, really certain of is that when the DIA guy said that there have been three competing in conflict civilizations with their own priorities and they don't get along, it might explain the strange mixture of light and dark, hate and love,
right,
on this planet where the greatest wars have been fought over whose God is superior to another. If this is manipulation and humans were created for this specific kind of warring, and you come back to the DIA guy saying, the key, Linda, is that if you take those three competing extraterrestrial civilizations, and he said, and if I could tell you everything I know about the agendas, most of the world's history would become clear.
Wow.
And we are on the precipice, the intersection, the brink of. Elon Musk, I think, has been read in to the same DIA, CIA, NSA geospatial program.
Right.
I think Elon Musk knows as much as you and I and others who have been investigating for a long time. And that he has moved closer and closer to the present time, his goal to launch his Starship with the goal of going to Mars. And did you see, it was 2 weeks ago. He says he's going to launch maybe between 24 and 26. And that he has a plan now to take 1 million humans from Earth in like a relay race from Earth to Mars, and that he plans to have 1 million humans settled on Mars by 2030. Did you see this?
This is insane. I did not see that at all.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And real quick, Linda, before we get going, we have about just a few minutes left because another show after this. But
well, thank you for letting me explain.
No, please.
It's complex.
Like I said, when Linda talks, it's like E.F. Hutton back in the day. You know, we listen because we learn, and we're so honored always to have you on the show. And you're going to be at Conscious Life Expo next week. And if any of you are in town or want to fly in to see, she'll be in a lot more details on what she's talking about today. Yeah. And like I said, truth be told, Captain Ron and myself will be there. But we'd love to see you guys. But Linda is always, she never fails of just being her and being
amazing.
Yeah,
I want to tell the truth to people. I want all of us to share in truth.
Yeah, and this is why we have you on. And it's been a while, but it's always a pleasure. But
Truth be told.
That's right. But please subscribe to our channel and please go over to earthfiles.com and check out the documentary and the film. We love it, and I think you guys should see it.
And please wash your hands.
They can come to my Wednesday night live stream, Files, every Wednesday, 7:30 to 8:30 Mountain Time in all time zones. And the dialogue that I'm having with people around the world now is extraordinary.
Oh, yeah. And people in the chat room, you can tell, just love you because you do. You're so knowledgeable. And you don't always tell you don't tell the same stuff because you do your research. It's not just a dialogue; it's actually research. And this
thank
is
you. I am trying to break new ground all the time.
All the time.
Love it.
Well, we can't wait to give you a big hug at Conscious Life.
Oh, me too. I know. I love you guys.
I love you too. And everybody out there, please subscribe to our channel. Truth be told, we have Scott Walter coming on this coming Monday. He has a lot to talk about. Also, a Conscious Life Expo. Speaker, and then a lot more next week because we're going to be there live. And if any guys can share this show, please do it. And I'll again go to earthfiles.com and go and watch her every Wednesday, her own live stream. So, but Linda, thank you so much. We love you lots.
I love you guys, really.
Bye, Linda.
We're in this together.
We are. Together we conquer. So, all right, everybody. This is Truth Be Told, Tony Sweet, Linda Moulton Howe, and Captain Ron. See you then. Bye.